This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:17. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And for our final story today, there's going to be a town hall, and this is organized by the FT Ministry to talk about how to help the homeless. So we want to find out more, especially in terms of how this engagement might pan out.
Yes, so the town hall is planned for the end of the month, and it essentially involves, or plan, it, the plan is to involve NGOs, groups and individuals who are distributing aid to the homeless in the state, mainly food. And the session, according to Federal Territories Deputy Minister Dato' Sri Jalaluddin Alias, is aimed to get feedback and suggestions on essentially issues of coordinations, issues of perhaps creating a system, because he said that he essentially says that with so many different people doing work, it sometimes becomes difficult to bridge gaps and often inadvertently gives rise to problems in that sense as well, of who gets what. Are these things being handled properly? And particularly because it involves food, so questions of hygiene and cleanliness. So the aim of this town hall is to discuss this, really.
Yes, like you said, right, there are issues of not exactly centralization, but of channeling aid to specific centers, having those centers being the distribution points. There's also issues around the fact that the argument from the FT Ministry is that they have the infrastructure there already to handle this. But we wanted to widen that out, really, and address some of those issues, but also look more broadly at what it is that the homeless community need at this time. It's been a tough time for everyone, but I would imagine particularly so. So let us know, what do you think we could do better in terms of helping the homeless community in our country and especially in the federal territories? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And we're now crossing over to Sham Priya, CEO and founder of Yellow House. Sham, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Hi, how's everyone doing?
Pretty good. It's a Monday.
Yes, that's a fair description. So we wanted to start by asking you, I mean, we'll get to the town hall in a bit, but what are the most pressing needs for the homeless community right now?
Wow, where do I start? if we were to see, like the most pressing need would actually be some coordination in how they are being treated. Because of course some of them are in the government temporary shelters, and a lot of them are also still rough sleeping, and we can't generalize all the homeless people who are everywhere into one thing that they need, right? In terms of distribution, in terms of a system and all that. But if there's one thing that a homeless person who is in the homeless shelter or in the temporary shelter or at the transit or Anjung Singa, or even their rough sleeping, if there's one thing they need, is actually dignity. Because sometimes when we've got the best of intention, but sometimes when we do something, we kind of assume that's what's the best for them. So it all comes down to relationship that you build, that NGOs and soup kitchens have spent years building relationship, a bond and trust with the homeless people. And based on that, coming up with system of what they need, an idea of what they need. So I would say right now, a lot of people are actually generalizing the homeless person as a product. I would say they generalize this is what they need. But the thing is, what we need to do is we need to take them as individuals, because one of the other, they've got different needs. So we can't generalize and say they all need housing, or they can't generalize and say they all need access to medical facilities and everything. But if there's something that they all need that they're not getting, or they have a lack of, it's actually access to services, That is one thing that we can agree on, that we need to up our game when it comes to providing services for them.
So this town hall is focused a lot on the question of providing aid, right? What have been some of the main challenges faced when doing exactly that, in providing aid to the homeless community?
Actually, I don't know about other NGOs. I mean, I've actually asked the other NGOs on the ground, but we have not received an invite from the government for the town hall. So we really don't know what town hall session this is. But now that it's out in the media and all that, and I hope that we do have a town hall session, because this gives us an amazing opportunity to actually bring forward some of the things that we are actually facing. When I say we're talking about NGOs and soup kitchens and organizations that are on the ground providing services and aid for the street community.
So this issue of coordination was something that the Deputy Minister raised, and I was hoping you could help us understand at the moment, you know, give us a rough idea of how aid is distributed in KL. Who are the parties involved? How does it all work? What kind of cooperation happens?
Okay, so when you say aid, mostly it's food. So we're talking about food, yeah? Okay, so there are various soup kitchens who are actually providing aid. So if we see Patiwi is at Medan Tuanku, and they provide aid, food, right, for the people who are around Chowkit area, Masjid India, Masjid Jami, and around that area. And then we've got Pit Stop, who takes care of the area near Segi, near Bangkok Bank. So what we have done is all the soup kitchens have actually come together. And we know that as one entity, we might not be able to do a lot of things. But collectively, when we pull our resources together and we consolidate our efforts, we actually can serve a bigger community of the street people. So we've actually consolidated our resources, and everyone has actually taken a couple of days in the week to kind of have this smooth running. And if one of them can't do it, then we actually quickly say, hey, you know, something came up, we can't do this, and someone readily steps in. So it's actually been going quite well for the soup kitchens, for the NGOs. Of course, like us, we don't serve food. We used to for about a year. That is to gain trust. A lot of things that we were giving, hair wash and haircuts and all that, was actually to get to know the street people, to get to know, you know, gain their trust, to get to know them, because then we'll be able to provide aid. For us, is ending their homelessness. But we work together with the soup kitchens because it's all a whole picture, you see. So we have a good system going. We actually have a good system going. As long as we've got people who know that we've got good system, donors who know that we've got a good system, people do provide us with donations and funds and donation of in kind. So we do have a system going, actually.
So the Deputy Federal Territories Minister, he made the point that, this sort of unsystematic distribution of aid may be creating unintended problems. How would you respond to this?
Okay, I do not wish to step on anyone's foot here. But here's the thing, right? So between the organizations and between the NGOs and everything, we all have our days, right, where we serve the homeless people. But there are also some random feeders, okay? So, I can share pictures, I can share videos, I can share, you know, videos of the homeless people telling us about, you know, the food that sometimes the random... I'm not talking about everybody. I'm not talking about all the random feeders, right? But my question is, if you are not an organization on the ground and you have a good intention to want to feed, you know, want to serve the homeless people, let me ask you a question. Why can't you find in your heart, in the best of interest, to actually consolidate your efforts with the existing NGO or soup kitchen who's on the ground serving on that day? Because if, as a random feeder, I've got 100 meals that I want to give out, right? And if the soup kitchen is serving 450 meals, right? There's going to be a wastage either on my side or either on the soup kitchen side. So it actually makes sense. It's very logic to actually look at the list. It's actually on Facebook. It's actually on social media. What are the days and who is serving? Why don't you just call them and say, hi, it's my birthday and I would like to do something nice for the street people. But my budget is about 400 people. Is there a way where we can actually, you know, collaborate or something like that? It's a win-win situation for everybody, right? But no. This is my birthday. I want to do it. I do. I know the best. But if you've not been on the street, and you, if it's just a random thing, right? And it's just going to be one-off feeding for you, you don't understand the amount of stress a soup kitchen undergoes, because now we have 50, 60, 80 meals that we have to scramble, and you know, and it's a waste of resources. Logical thing will actually be to pool the resources, right? So the other thing is, as a soup kitchen, as an NGO who's been doing this for donkey years, we know what people want. We know what the street community want. We know their names. We know what they eat. And we know what they like. So let me tell you, vegetarian food, I'm sorry to say, it's great, but it's not flying among the street people. Freshly cooked vegetarian food, I'd say it's still okay. But I can send you a video of someone giving vegetarian food, which I swear had maybe 3 spoons of dal, 1 piece of tahu. And I'm not talking about the triangle tahu. I'm talking about a tahu that is as big as my thumb, right? And a couple of timun. The rice was uncooked, I tell you, because I ate it. My volunteer ate it. And we were holding our tears until we were laughing and holding our tears. And we broke down in the bus crying. Are you telling me the person who served this food, she didn't taste it herself? So how are we going to, you know, when we tell this to the random feeders, when we tell this and, you know, put it on Facebook and all that, we get bashed. We get bashed in and said, oh, feeding the homeless people is not a crime. No, it's not a crime. Doing it unsystematically and creating trouble for others, yes, that also not a crime, but you see where I'm going. And food that, if you have a function, if you have an event, food that is left over, you sell it to the homeless people. They are not tong sampah, you know. So if you have an event at 7 o'clock, your caterer sent the food at 5 o'clock, which means it was prepared at 11 o'clock and it's being served at 10 o'clock. That is 10, 8, 9 hours of food that has gone through contamination in terms of temperature, contamination in terms of air, contamination in terms of utensils and how many times it has been changed. And you are angry, you're pissed off when the street people say, no, I don't want to eat it. Has anyone actually thought about where a street person would go to the toilet in the streets? It's tough. I know, I've been homeless. And we really need to crap and you don't know where to go. I'm laughing now, but I wasn't then. But that's the thing. It's where are you going to go to the toilet? And food that is not fresh, food that is not cooked. These things can be avoided. That's what we are saying. What the soup kitchens are saying is consolidate the efforts so that things go on smoothly. So among us, we have a system. You know, if I'm cooking and I have a little bit extra, I actually message the WhatsApp group, hey guys, I've got about 30 food. I don't want to, you know, does anybody want extra food? If not, you know, it just takes one call. Communication.
Absolutely. Sham, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you so much.
That was Sham Priya, CEO and founder of Yellow House, talking about the needs of the homeless community. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.